25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located just a few miles outside of Boone in Vilas on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. And I'd love to take the opportunity to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. We have on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. we have Sunday school for all ages. At 11 a.m. we have our Sunday morning worship and preaching service. Second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m. we have our Sunday evening services, and usually we'll have a missionary or a visiting preacher, or I might have a message the Lord's laid upon my heart. And then every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. we have our Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. And so we'd love for you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. This radio broadcast is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and so we appreciate the folks, and we appreciate our listeners as well. And I want to say good morning to Noah. He's here with me today, and I appreciate his help. He produces the broadcast. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, both those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate our listeners. The radio broadcast comes on WZAP on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., and we appreciate the opportunity to do that as well. So if you're listening on Saturday, we are you're listening to Tuesday's broadcast. I don't want to confuse anybody, but it should be pretty current. There's just a few days gap there. But last week, if you were with us last week, I started something just a little bit different, and I'm going to go back and try to do a little review. Maybe if you didn't get to catch the radio broadcast, but there's a book I picked up recently, and it's called The Harbinger. A man named Jonathan Kahn wrote this book. He is a preacher, and he has a church up in New Jersey, Wayne, New Jersey. And it's called the Jerusalem Center Beth Israel, a worship center made up of Jew and Gentile people of all backgrounds. But I've heard this gentleman talk now, not in person, but on being interviewed and things like that. And he's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a Christian. He's a pastor. And he has written a book called The Harbinger. And it says on the front of the book, it says, "The ancient mystery that holds the secret of America's future." Now, if that's true, that is really interesting. And he takes this book, and it's a fictional book, but it teaches, it tells a little story, and it teaches a ancient prophecy concerning Israel, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. And that's what we started looking at last week. And I said I was going to spend a few weeks in the book of Isaiah sharing some things I've learned from this book and then through my other studies. It's always amazing to me how the Lord directs a person, a preacher's studies. Now, what I study, and I mean, God will show me things that another preacher, another pastor, they may not feel led to study this. But when God begins to show you something, there will be several pieces of the puzzle that the Lord puts together. You'll read a book, do a study, talk to somebody. It's just interesting how the Lord puts things together. And so Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10, Mr. Kahn makes the case that this is not only concerning ancient Israel, but it's also a sign concerning America. And it begins with what happened September 11th, 2001. And I didn't even really get into that last week. I was just laying some background. But it says in Isaiah chapter number 9, I'm going to read verse number 9. It said, "And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." And I said last week that God sent the prophet Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was the first prophet, and I believe it would be fair to say that he is the major prophet or the greatest prophet to Israel. He's the first. He had, I would say, the longest ministry. Isaiah is the longest book. Isaiah has the great truths concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, where the Lord Jesus Christ would be born, Isaiah chapter number 53, that the Messiah would die upon the cross. And so Isaiah is just, I would say that he's the prince of the prophets. And so God sends Isaiah to warn the children of Israel. And the warning that God sends to Isaiah is not just a verbal warning, but it is a physical warning as well. Now, I said this last week. God sends prophets to warn nations, to cause them to repent and turn back to God where they've turned away. And I read, and there are many parallels, although Israel is not America and America is not Israel. God deals with nations individually, but there are many parallels between ancient Israel and modern day America. I read Isaiah chapter 1 in verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read verse 2. The Bible said, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." And I believe we could say that about America as well. God has blessed America. America has blessed the Lord. America is unique among all the nations of the earth in that we could truly say America was founded as a Christian nation. But when a Christian nation turns its back on God, God's not going to continue to bless them as a Christian nation. God has to then begin to deal with that nation as a heathen nation or as an enemy nation. And so God sent Isaiah to warn the children of Israel to turn back to God in their prosperity, in their pride. They turned their back upon the Lord. And so God sends Isaiah and these judgments that we're going to look at to try to turn the children of Israel back to God. Now, it wasn't just a verbal warning, but as I have said, it was a physical warning as well. And I want to just read in Isaiah chapter number 5. In Isaiah chapter number 5, in verse 26, I'm going to start reading over there and down through verse 29. What God says he would do to the nation that turns its back upon the Lord. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 26, "And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. Their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it." Now, that's quite a few verses to try to read and expound upon in just a short amount of time. But basically what God was saying there in Isaiah chapter number 5 is that he would send a swift enemy that would come against the children of Israel and would invade Israel. And that is exactly what took place in ancient Israel. Now, I'm going to go on over to chapter 7 and read verses 5 and 6. The Bible said, "Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it. And let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel." So the enemies of Judah, they said, let us go up against Judah, and we will make a breach there. Now, a breach God was saying an enemy will come and make a breach. That means to cleave or to open. All ancient cities had a wall around the city. That was their line of defense. And those of you that know anything about ancient history, you'll know that these cities had walls around them. And so the enemy said, let's come up and we'll break down the wall. We'll make a breach in the wall. And that actually happened in ancient Israel. It was not an overthrow or a total destruction, but it was a warning. It should have been that it would wake up the children of Israel. There was a mini Assyrian invasion that literally took place in the early days of Isaiah. Now, chapter number 8 in the book of Isaiah talks about the Assyrian invasion. And I'm going to read a couple of verses over there, verse 7 and 8, chapter number 8, verses 7 and 8. What God says this mini invasion would be like. It said, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria. So God says he's going to let the enemy come. The enemy is going to be the king of Assyria, and he's going to come in like a river or like a flood. It said, in all his glory, talking about the king of Assyria, all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks, and he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even unto the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. And so there's a beautiful word picture there. It is described that the Assyrians would come in. It would be like a flood. If you can imagine this in your mind, what happens when a river overflows and there's a flood? Well, the river, it overflows its banks. It goes into the land, it destroys, it does its damage, and then when the flood is over, the flood recedes, the river returns to normal, and the river is back contained within its banks, and you look around and you say, my, what a terrible destruction that flood brought upon us. And this historically is called the first incursion, and there was an Assyrian incursion or a mini invasion that God allowed the enemy to come into the land, and it should have been a wake-up call to the children of Israel. They should have repented. They should have turned back to the Lord. They should have humbled themselves, and they should have seen, you know what? We're not invincible. The enemy can come in. We are not to the place that we cannot be defeated by a foreign army. Now, all of that, everything I said last week and everything I've said this morning brings us to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. The Bible said in verse number 10, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Now, this, you must understand what's going on here. This was the response to the children of Israel concerning the mini invasion by the Assyrian army. Well, they should have repented. They should have turned back to God. But instead, they said these words, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. If you go back to verse number 9, it sheds a lot of light upon what the attitude of their heart. It said in verse 9, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. Instead of humility before the Lord, there was pride. And instead of repentance to God, there was resolve. They said, instead of, oh, we need to get right with God, they said, we'll show them. We will show everybody. We'll build greater. We will build bigger. than we did before. Well, you say this morning, what in the world does that have to do with what happened September 11th, 2001? I want to share a little something with you this morning that maybe you know about, maybe you don't. But September the 12th, 2001, we're talking about the day after 9/11, the day after the attacks upon the Pentagon and upon the Twin Towers. Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle was the Senate Majority Leader at that time. And so there was a joint resolution concerning the attacks. And here's what he said when he came to bring forth that joint resolution. Here's what Congress and the Congress and the Senate has to say about these attacks upon our country. He said, "I know that there is only the smallest measure of inspiration that can be taken from this devastation, but there is a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to us at times like this. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars." And that is exactly what Tom Daschle said on September the 12th, 2001. So if we go back in our minds and we imagine this taking place, the day after 9/11, Tom Daschle stands up, he reads quotes out of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. Now that sounds good and proper that he would read this verse out of the Bible. After all, there's a comparison there. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. So that sounds good, but he didn't stand up. What he didn't do, he didn't stand up and read, for example, Psalms chapter number 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The verse there, the chapter there is a chapter of comfort and consolation. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He didn't stand up and read Psalms chapter number 23. Or I believe a fitting passage of scripture would have been 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." Those and many other places in the Bible would bring comfort or instruction during a time of judgment. But Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, what Tom Daschle did and many others I'll share with you later on, what they have done in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 is take that out of its proper context. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 is not a passage of scripture that brings comfort. It is not instructive. It is pronouncing the judgment of God upon a proud, unrepentant people. And this is an obscure passage of scripture. This is something that you would read 100 times and really not pay very much attention to it until after 9/11. And I don't know who or where, but somebody grabbed this verse and they took it and they begin to use it and apply it to America. But I'm telling you, it's about the judgment of God upon an unrepentant people. And Lord willing, I want to take some time and show us specifically how this applies to America. And I want to say this morning that everything that we read in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, every detail in this verse has already been literally fulfilled at Ground Zero in New York City. And I'm not going to get into that in depth today, but the bricks are falling down refers to the falling of the Twin Towers. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. Do you know one of the early actions of those when they came back and they said, okay, we're going to rebuild, and they laid a cornerstone. They went up into upstate New York. They got a stone out of the mountain up there, brought it into New York City, had it dedicated, engraved, laid it in the pavement there, had a ceremony marking the rebuilding of what then was going to be the Freedom Towers. So what was the outcry after a 9/11? We're going to build back. We're going to build back better and bigger and greater than before. And they actually went up into the mountains and got a hewn stone and brought it down into New York City and placed it as the cornerstone in the Freedom Towers. It said, "The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down." There was a sycamore tree at the base of the Twin Towers that became a symbol of the destruction upon that day. If you go on the internet, you can find pictures of this tree that was knocked down at the Twin Towers at that day, and it was uprooted. And they took that tree, they moved it down the street, and they made a monument out of it. It was literally a sycamore tree. And then at some point after that, nobody's coordinating these events, but there was an individual that came along and dedicated a cedar tree that they put back in the place of that sycamore tree. Now, these are people they're not trying to fulfill. I don't believe they knew anything about Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. But what I'm saying, these things have literally taken place at Ground Zero in New York City, which ought to confirm to us that, hey, maybe God is trying to get our attention. And so what the Bible says is more real and more applicable than what the newspaper said this morning. Now, I want to say just a little bit about the hedge in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 10 chapters before this. Chapter number 5 specifically, there's something very interesting over there that God says He will do to the nation that turns its back upon the Lord. And one of the things that God says that He will do to that nation is that He will take their hedge of protection away. And I believe that's what the Lord did on September 11th, 2001. I believe what we seen there was what we read about in Isaiah chapter number 5, where God says He'll take the hedge of protection away from the nation that turns its back upon the Lord. And Isaiah chapter number 5 and verse number 5 says, "And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down." Hedges in the Bible are there for protection. Now, I want to reiterate something that I've said before, and I'm not saying that America is Israel, and I'm not saying that Israel is America. They are two different nations, but there are many parallels between the nation of Israel and the nation of America. Our Sunday school teacher a few weeks ago brought out in his Sunday school lesson some very interesting information about America and Israel, and that this is something that I had not realized before. But do you know there are more Jewish people in America than there are in the nation of Israel? Now, that alone, if you're a Bible believer, that says something to us. That ought to cause us to sit up and pay attention, because we've got the chosen people in our land. There are more Jewish people in America than there are in Israel, and there are more Jewish people in America than there are in any other nation in the world. And so I think that's very interesting, this book, The Harbinger. And as we study the Bible, of course, we are to follow the Berean example, Acts 17 and verse number 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so." And so God deals with nations individually speaking. If a nation is righteous and godly, then God deals with them accordingly. And if a nation is unrighteous and ungodly, then God deals with them accordingly. And I want to say just a little bit before we go on today, or as we go on, about Matthew chapter number 25 and how God deals with nations. Could it be that what we read about in the book of Isaiah and the children of Israel and their judgment, could it apply to America as well? Well, you think about our relationship to Israel. There are many, many parallels. I don't have time to go into all of them today. But God deals with nations according to how they treat the children of Israel, the Jewish people. Now, whether you like that or not, or whether you believe that or not, I believe that with all of my heart, because that is what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, I think I'll have time to point this out. The Bible said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Now notice what the Bible says. "Then shall the righteous answer him." This is talking about the righteous nations. "The righteous shall answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And so the Lord Jesus will say, when you treated my brethren this way, it was the same as doing it unto me. Now, most everybody knows Jesus was a Jew. And so he's talking there about the Jewish people. Nations are going to be judged according to how they treated the Jewish people, just like I've talked about the promise to Abraham, "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." And then it says in verse 41, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And he goes on down through and says the same thing unto the unrighteous nation. Verse 45, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So God deals with nations according to how they treat the nation of Israel. And America has come to a place in the past 20 or so years where we have turned our backs away from the children of Israel. And it's not been all at once, but it's been little by little by little. And I believe we're beginning to see the judgment of God in our nation. And it specifically began on 9/11 when the bricks were falling down. And the attitude after that, we're not going to listen to what the Lord has to say. Well, time's gone. I appreciate you listening, and have a great day, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. This has been Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA. Boone.